2 Chronicles chapter 1. I want to talk about Solomon and his obsession with horses. Now in Deuteronomy 17, they were told, Israel had been told, that if you have a king, he must copy out this part of the law and live by it. And it says that the king must not multiply horses to himself, must not return to Egypt to get horses, and they would have nothing to do with Egypt. Now, of course, in those days, to have a horse and chariot was to have, as they thought, some invincible weapon. So to tell Israel they were not to have horses and chariots, as in chariot horses, was a big thing to ask them. And, of course, the idea was that instead they should trust in the heavenly horses and chariots of angels. Well, Solomon may or may not have obeyed the law and copied out that part of the law, that I, as the king of Israel, must not multiply gold, silver, wives, horses, etc. And yet he fails in this, quite shamelessly and spectacularly. You see in verse 14, Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he built chariot cities. You come to 1 Kings 4:26. The numbers have gone up. Solomon had 40,000 stores of horses for his chariots. So, simple takeaway lesson. Once you decide, well, yeah, okay, God's word says this, but I shall do the opposite. I just cut myself a bit of slack in that area. See, it doesn't stay like that. It's like the man who says, I shall get drunk once a month on a Friday night at the end of the month. Well, it ends up every Friday night, and it ends up every day. This is the trouble with sin, and assuming that we can just sort of cut ourselves slack, as it were, and look at God's word and assume that, well, I don't have to take this seriously. Now, you also see with Solomon the way that he unfortunately, well, takes the word of God simply as he wants. He decides that, well, I shall not take that too seriously. Okay, this is what the word of God says, but, well, I have my own desires, etc. It comes down to humility before God's word, and he just didn't have it. And this idea that, yeah, sure, that's what the Bible says, but I can somehow make excuses. And this is what leads Solomon to the absolute misery of his apostasy. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he is writing, as I see it, as an old man looking back at his wasted life. And he's admitting that, yeah, I had obsessive tendencies. I gathered whatever I wanted. I got really into horses. I gathered the horses together. I got into building, so I built a load of stuff. And I got into agriculture, so I did that big time. Most people only have the opportunity to do some of these things, and they pursue their aims in a very limited sort of way, to, as it were, get just one or two chariots and horses, to build maybe one or two projects in their life, to have a certain number of relationships with women, for example. Some men might dream of this woman or that woman. Well, Solomon had, 700 wives, 300 concubines. He's the one who had the opportunity to indulge everything as far as he wanted. He had the health, the money, the long life to do it. And he's therefore really quite a unique person, because he writes this book of Ecclesiastes at the end saying that, yeah, and it was all a waste of time. I did not find happiness. I didn't find fulfillment. I didn't find wisdom in all that, even though God had actually given him the wisdom as a young man. So his attitude to horses, I think, just shows how he thought, oh yeah, horse and chariot, that's strength. And he goes crazy, gets 40,000 stalls for horses. And unfortunately, of course, it didn't fulfill him. And going the way of the flesh doesn't fulfill. And as he says, the eye is never satisfied with seeing. He saw, he took. But this is not the way of the spirit. Now, when you think, well, how did he get so involved? Well, he took the horses from Egypt, and of course he'd fallen in love with this girl from Egypt. You read about their rather difficult romance in the Song of Solomon. And so he has this woman from Egypt. He's very caught up with Egyptian culture and thinking, and so he takes the horses from there. So weakness leads to weakness. And this is again the problem of just having the attitude that, well, I shall cut myself some slack in this part of my life. It doesn't stay there. You also read here that initially they brought out of Egypt a chariot for 600 pieces of silver and a horse for 150, and they brought them out for the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. So geographically, Israel was located in between these nations that were to the north, Syria and the Hittites, and Egypt was to the south. And so he started off being a middleman. And that's what led him to actually get attracted to these horses and chariots for himself. It's like the person who says, I shall sell alcohol or drugs or whatever, but not use them myself. Well, eventually the person ends up drinking the alcohol or using the drugs themselves. And so you can see all the time how these ancient histories translate into modern life. Because the way of the spirit, the way of the spiritual life, is to remove from our path in life all temptation that we can, including subliminal temptation, the ideas being put in our mind. Don't sit there watching TV. Don't sit there playing around with the internet all the time, looking at this, looking at that. Don't listen to the radio, just music and bizarre comments being played all the time. Fill your mind with spiritual things. And you will find that these subliminal temptations are just not there so much. They disappear. If you structure your life in a way that is based around spiritual things. Now, Solomon didn't do that. Although God gave him all the wealth that he could possibly want, he still got involved in this horse trading business and chariot trading, bringing these things, these horses and chariots out from Egypt and selling them to these nations to the north. And eventually, as I say, he gets caught up in it himself and absolutely addicted, caught up to an obsessive level. I mean, all these thousands of horses and chariots, we read elsewhere that he needed a whole setup of people to bring enough food and straw, etc., for all these horses. He had to build whole cities to keep them in, even though God gave him peace. And his father David had said that God will give you peace, you'll be a man of peace. This is what his name meant. And God did give him peace in the nation. And we're told they did not have enemies around them. And so Solomon had Israel at its greatest geographical extent that it ever was in its history. So why did he need these huge amounts of horses and chariots? Well, certainly not because he actually needed them. This is like the millionaire who says, oh, but I need another million just in case, and I need another million just for the sake of it, and oh yeah, and then let me just get some more. And so the whole thing spirals upwards or downwards in spiritual terms. And this is what you see with Solomon. And as I say, biblical history is not bunk, even if history in a secular sense may be bunk. The biblical history is not, because God's word is a living word, and he's carefully selected the histories and the aspects of human lives that he's recorded here, because they speak directly to us in our life decisions today.